Sorry, Nikita. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right. So the time is now 4:01, and I'm calling to order the December 10th hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today are, I believe John is here. Is John here? Yep. John, yes. Sharon, yep. Kirsten, and Helen, and myself, Nikita Burns, and staff member Nicholas. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure the public access to the deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB December 10th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So first up on the agenda today is a violation for the application or the applicant for the Tudor Manor for 1714, 1718, 1722, 1726, and 1734 Commonwealth Avenue. And the applicant's name is Chuck Reed. The proposed work is the ratification of unapproved LED floodlights at the front entrances. Are there any recusal from commission members? If not, then members of the public are asked to please hold your comment until the end of the comment period for each application. And the applicant has 5 minutes to present their case.
Perfect. So do we have a representative for Chuck?
Yes, Steve Wurst here.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
So if you could just go through the application. Or go through the situation and how you'd like to proceed. Commissioners, this was a violation that I observed when I was in the neighborhood a couple months back. All of these LED lights were not approved. They're on a number of the main entrances for the building. And so my recommendation would be to simply either put the same LED lights but underneath the awnings or a new LED light that is not visible from the street and that are less than 4,000 lumens. So that's kind of my recommendation. So go ahead, Steve, explain the situation here.
Yeah, well, I guess evidently they were put up, I believe a couple of years ago, possibly, and it was at the request of owners because, you know, just for safety. And I think they just, I don't know that anybody honestly realized that there was the commission that needed to be addressed before they did it. I think they just put something up that they thought went well with the building and was kind of unobtrusive and, you know, look nice. So I guess our only comment is that, you know, we did it for, you know, for safety reasons. And if you need us to do something different, just make a recommendation. We're happy to change it to whatever you'd like.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve. Commissioners, I'll turn it back to you.
So we can open it up for discussion if any of the commissioners have anything to add or any questions.
So the lights that are there now that were replaced, how do they fall into the lumen category that you had suggested?
I do think they're a little bit bright. I don't know the exact lumens. I'd have to look at the manufacturing cut sheet, but we can always find that out. Steve, do you by chance know?
I don't. I would assume that you're looking for a kind of a more yellow light that would be more in an older look.
No, we're just looking for something that's a little less obtrusive in terms of brightness. With these new LED technologies, while they do certainly reduce energy costs, they are very, very bright. And there are benefits to that, but there are also setbacks. So that's kind of why we're asking there. And we can always find that information out if you don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. I okay. do know that they, I mean, I'm sure that they come with in, you know, different, you know, yeah. strengths and brightnesses, you know, color on the color scheme, color chart. So,
great.
We can, I guess, I don't know. How would you recommend doing that? I mean, can you recommend something that you would approve? Or I guess, cause I'm not sure where to start.
We can help you out with that. That's not a problem. Let's get the commissioner's thoughts on how we should move forward, and then we can discuss that in a moment.
Okay.
Yep.
If I can make an observation here, this looks like a situation where the brighter the better was the general thinking, but in order to ensure safety, you don't need that level of brightness. We don't need, a basketball or a football stadium brightness for residential, especially given that it's an entrance rather than a large area you're attempting to illuminate. So I would agree with the staff recommendations, either obscure the lights underneath the awning, but I'm more in favor of the illumination of no more than 4,000 lumens. I think that will accomplish the purpose, provide safety, and still be within comfortable boundaries of the district. That would be my recommendation.
Great. And for the record, the city's standard requirement for residential lighting is 4,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nick,
can I ask a question?
If we move those lights up under the awning, I'm assuming that'll take a lot of the light away. So, I think maybe would that cover us, or do you think it needs to be, actually find out exactly what that light model kicks out?
Well, so it could be one, it could be both. So if they move it out, I guarantee you, if we look up the manufacturer of this light source, it'll have the brightness on it, on either the light bulb, the LED light bulb, or the actual light fixture itself. That's typically written into the manufacturing specification sheets that come with all types of products like this. So,
My guess is that it'll probably be easier to replace the light with something that meets your lighting requirement than to get it out of sight. Because if you look at the one picture, there's a set of stairs that goes up into the awning. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the sidewalk, you're actually looking up into the awning. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even sure we can get it high enough to be hidden from view.
Okay.
Would the complete light fixture have to be removed, or are there like light bulbs that could just be a different light bulb?
I expect it's
replaced into that fixture, or is this the kind of thing where the fixture is a kind of a set light bulb that goes with it, and it would be a whole new fixture?
I expect it's going to be a whole new fixture, but we can. It's there's only six of them, so it's
Nick, if a new fixture were installed, would you recommend that should just be reviewed by staff? To make sure that is acceptable.
Right.
And if it's a more acceptable fixture, do you think where they're placed now is okay?
Well, that's the question at hand, because I would imagine that these doors at one point, were they double doors at some point in history?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I would imagine that they either were double doors, mm-hmm. or there was a window or something there. So I'm not quite sure that that location would be appropriate. I would recommend someplace higher into the awning so that they're not visible from the street.
I'll take a look at that and see if we can do that.
Sure.
If we can get it so it's not visible from the street, then are we okay reusing the existing fixtures?
So technically, yes. If it's not visible from the street at all, it's outside of our purview. So yes. But we would still recommend lowering the light brightness because they are extremely bright.
Okay. Then, yeah, I think in that case, I think we're back to replacing the fixtures. Sure. and racing them up a little bit if we can.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I guess what, do you have any lights or examples of, you know, other addresses where you know that there's lights that you like that we should look at? I just want to make sure that we pick something out that suits you.
Sure. I mean, I'm happy to make recommendations. I don't have them on me now, but if the commission is comfortable with it, I can make those recommendations.
Okay. I think it's a little bit of an unusual situation because I think you're right. There's probably, you can see there's like a transom above those doors. It looks like it goes across the width of both. I think you're right that you know, we're speculating, but I think it's likely that there were double doors there, as many of the buildings in the district have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, most buildings have a portico with like a light overhead. This is like a slightly different situation with this light on the side. I'm not sure that we would find an example in the district, but that doesn't mean that with review that you couldn't, Nick, right, settle on something that's appropriate.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we'll find anything exactly like this in districts. I think this is kind of an atypical situation with what the situation of the doors there.
Right. So I will also let you know that so we have this exact same situation happening right now on Beacon Hill. And the solution to this, there's these very small, inexpensive, they're essentially pin lights, and you can mount them to basically anywhere. They're quite bright and but within guidelines, and they're not visible from the street. So we can definitely find you something to recommend.
Okay, great. Should I call you or shoot you an email at some point? And Okay.
Nick, so we're obviously they're willing to work with you and work on a recommendation. Do we approve something now for them with your guidance, or do we have to have them come back again?
That's up to you. So you can approve it with the provisos that you work with staff to come up with a light fixture that that's not visible from the street and the appropriate brightness, or you could ask them to return with an option to come before you. It's completely up to you.
Well, it seems like they're willing to do what they can to work with us, so I think that we shouldn't drag them down more and let them move forward if we get your approval. And I'm comfortable with that. I don't know about the rest of the board.
I am too, John.
I'm in favor of that as well.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I do want to ask if we should set a timeline. We've often done that with violations so that it doesn't just fall off the radar and not get taken care of. And we've often given a 60 or 90 day time period. Or if longer, that seems appropriate, we could do it longer. We've often done that to just make sure that there's follow-up. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend the 90-day time frame.
And does 90 days seem appropriate to the builder or the owners that they can get that done in time with the holidays and everything, or do they want?
I'm sure we can. That shouldn't be an issue. I'll send you an email off, you know, when I get off the phone here. And we can get the ball rolling.
Great.
Okay. And you said those were pin lights you used at Beacon Hill?
Yeah. I can get you the specs because I actually have them in my inbox. So I'll forward them over to you probably first thing tomorrow morning.
All right, perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll just shoot you over a reminder after the meeting.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
So Nick, because this is a violation, do we open this up for public comment?
Yes.
Okay, great. Are the commissioners ready for us to open it up?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me see, give me one sec. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, please press 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenaberdeen acdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB December 10th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topic under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have one minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comment. If you or someone has already spoken to this point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment already mentioned.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm not seeing any comments on Twitter. Let me just check our email inbox. Nothing on email, and there are no hands raised in the app, so I will turn it back to you, Nikita.
Excellent. So we can move on to the voting portion. So does any commissioner have a motion?
I make a motion that we allow this building to replace their lights with the overseeing of Nick and his group, that they choose something that falls within the correct parameters. And they have 90 days to get it done.
Perfect.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Excellent. I'll now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And myself, yay, the application has been approved.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve. We'll be in touch tomorrow, okay?
Great. Thanks, Nick. Thanks. Thanks everybody.
You're welcome.
So we can now move on to the second portion of today's agenda, which is the design review part of the hearing. First up is application 21.0458 for the address of 85 and 95 Sutherland Road. Applicant is named Derek, I apologize for the last name, Rubinoff. I hope I
got it.
Excellent. And the proposed work is a construction of a new main entry portico in landscaping, a review of previously approved windows. Are there any recusals from the commission members? I'm not hearing any. Members of the public, again, are asked to please hold your comment until the comment period of the application. Or the public comment period of the application. Please, I'm going to hand it over to Derek to start us off.
Great, thank you so much. I appreciate everyone's time today. My name is Derek Rubinoff from Derek Rubinoff Architect in West Roxbury. And with me today is David Lapidus, who is of Octagon Properties, who is the owner of the building. And what we're seeking to do today is, as was mentioned, propose adjustments to the existing front entry on Sutherland Road there, and also to continue a conversation about the proposed window replacement for this and the neighboring building, which is very similar at 95 Sutherland, which was already approved with a proviso under application 21.0256AB. So if we can, looking at this page, you can see the location of the building. It's near a series of other multifamily buildings. Some of them are from 1965 era, like this one. The one to the right, I think, is maybe a little older. And then there's a World War I era building across the street. Let's go to the next slide, please. So the thrust of this project is to deal with the amount of deliveries of packages that are happening, particularly, you know, with COVID going on and people online shopping. And what's been happening at this and the neighboring property, both of which are owned by Octagon Properties, 95 as well as 85, is that some of these packages, like many all over the country, are being stolen after being delivered. And so with David being a landlord, he would like to create a space or an interior space that has limited access that would have lockers in it. And those lockers would be accessible by the package delivery companies so that when the tenants order goods, they can be placed in a safe place until the tenant is able to retrieve them. Now, this building is built about as tightly as possible. And if we go to the next page, yeah, thank you so much. So I don't have a floor plan of the interior, but I can tell you that when you walk in the door at the top right there, you're in a very tiny vestibule, and then you're in a tiny kind of corridor space, and there really isn't any place inside the existing building without the sacrifice of existing units where we could create the space. Looking at the existing building, you can see that it's one of many sort of such buildings around the Boston area, and these buildings are kind of like the minimum they needed to be architecturally possible to basically place people into them. So there's sort of like a little bit of googie with the entry there. There's this very simple canopy that's existing right now. It's got a slight bend in the middle, but not enough to be anything kind of interesting googie architecture from that 60s period. And then, you know, it's very simple brick, black railings. There's sort of this kind of vineyard-like railing that's holding up, or the post that's holding up the canopy at the left and the right of the top right photograph. You can see has a little bit of a vineyard thing. I'm here on Spring Street in West Roxbury, and across the street from me is another building very similar to this. It has that same pattern. So I think somebody made a lot of it by the linear foot, that kind of vineyard pattern, and then they were added to these otherwise very bleak modern buildings from this period. And the other architectural feature, the only other architectural feature really of this building, are these two white stripes that go up the front. So we looked at that and we said, okay, well, this is what we have to work with. And we've got these planters out front. So what can we do here? So let's go to the next page, please. So this is what we would propose to demo in terms of a floor plan and roof. Basically, we're proposing to take out the existing canopy and reconstruct it. And then to the left of the main entry door, so Sutherland Road is at the bottom of the page, and the vestibule is drawn there, as you can see. To the left of the exterior outside the vestibule, we would carve out about 8 feet to the left of the existing planter and propose making that into a room under a new canopy. So let's take a look at that on the next page here. Great, so this is, this is another demo plan. This is a demo roof plan of the canopy. Let's go to the next one, this demo elevation. So what we would do here is take off the existing canopy and the existing supports, and we would take out, let's see, some railing, a little portion of the existing railing, and then we would take out, there's a little existing brick half wall there that we would take out, and I'll show you what we're going to proposing to replace that with. But the existing brick planter, the brick wall of the planter on the left would remain facing Sutherland. So let's go to the next page here. Yeah. Okay, so this is a proposed construction plan. So you can see the existing concrete pad that you walk to right off the sidewalk. Keep in mind, this is a sloped site, pretty steep slope. That would be reconstructed as necessary, just to kind of repair and reconstruct. Where it says 3 and 8 there, just to the right of that concrete pad, we would actually infill a little bit of the area that's currently landscaping, just to give people a little more space as they come into that building. It's really kind of tight coming in. And then on the left, you can see what we're proposing to create. We're proposing to cut part of that brick wall that is there for the planter that faces this exterior entry area there, and put a door there. And then we would just create a simple enclosure using, again, the existing brick retaining wall facing Sutherland. And we would line it with lockers on either side. And at the end, we could put a transom window on the far left. And this would just give us enough room to have a wheelchair come in so that we comply with 521 CMR with the turning radius. And then what we would do at the, where it says note 4, kind of to the left of the mouse there, we're a little bit to the left of the mouse. Just go up a little bit. There would be a bench that we would propose putting there so that somebody who's waiting for someone to come outside, since there's not really any lobby in this building, we'd give them a place to sit for a few minutes while somebody's waiting for somebody to come downstairs. And then where it says note 1 to the left, to the right of the mouse, we would propose putting some new black metal, sort of full height railings, whatever you would like to call those, screens, I guess you could call them, that are in the same similar character of the existing black railings that are around the site. So let's keep moving here, because I know there's time is limited and valuable. This is a proposed landscaping design that we would do. So for the planters that remain, so again, we're only taking about eight linear feet of planter away to do this. And then the remaining planters, we would update the existing landscaping with what's proposed here. We can come back to this if you're interested. Let's go to the next page here. And this is a ceiling plan. So we would refinish the underside of the new canopy. We'd actually extend the canopy to the left and to the right. It wouldn't come in any closer to the sidewall because it's right already existing at the property line there. We have a 10-foot existing setback or so. And it would stretch to the left so that it covers the new package enclosure, and would stretch to the right so that it lines up with one of those existing white stripes, which the existing canopy doesn't seem to have anything to do with those white stripes going up the building right now. So we're going to try to tie things in a little more architecturally, try to improve, work with the existing architecture and make it look a little more intentional. Let's go to the next page, please. So there, good. Yeah, this is the proposed roof plan and landscape, another landscape diagram here. So it's just a simple flat roof, with a slight pitch to the sides. Let's go to the next page, please. Great. So here's an elevation. We'll show you a rendering in a moment, but here's the proposed elevation. So you can see that we'd have a consistent fascia to the street. So no, you know, slight indentation that doesn't really work very well right now architecturally. Just have a clean, straight fascia that's consistent in height. And you can see the bottom left section of it, that the fascia would have a slight parapet to it so that we can maintain that height while whatever sloping behind it so that it drains. Back to the top left view is the front view. You can see the existing brick is to remain there where that planter is. And we would just come up a little bit with a with the new enclosure. We're thinking, we'll show you in a couple of pages, but we're thinking a cementitious lap siding for that. There's a couple that we're looking at and we'll show you that in a moment. You can see that we're putting the building number to make it very obvious to everybody what building this is, which should help with wayfinding. And you can see that we are taking the vertical railing that's at the far right of that and just turning it to its side to make it more horizontal. And the reason why we're doing that is because, well, the whole canopy is a horizontal gesture. And we think working with these horizontal lines or adding some more horizontal lines here works pretty well. And that canopy would wrap around to the side, which we'll see more in the 3D view. The bottom left, you can see that we're where the planter is, we're actually carving a door into that. And you can see that at the door 1.1 there. Yep. And you can see the bench proposed on the left as the sidewalk even further to the left, that starts to slope up. To the center, in the center view, you can see that side slat. It says slat wall. It's really proposed wrought iron horizontal screen. And that would be on the right side of the entry. And the bottom right view is looking back out toward the street as you come out of the building. So let's go to the next view, please. I'm trying to keep my pace here. So this is what we're proposing in three dimensions here. So again, we're trying to work, this is an everything about this building is orthogonal. So we're trying to work within that orthogonality per the guidelines, trying to work with the character of the existing building. It's not a historic building in terms of being Victorian or anything like that, but is kind of a dumb box as this is. We think we can just take the orthogonality of that and try to kind of create a special place right at the front, which has that language, but then kind of takes it to another level architecturally. So again, a nice clean flat black line of fascia across this proposed canopy. And then you can see the sort of horizontal grills that we're proposing on either side of the entry. One of them's holding up the proposed 85 sign. The other just returns back to the wall on the right. You can see that the canopy now lines up with the white, vertical white stripe of the building so that there's some way of tying things in together architecturally. And you can see on the left view at the far left, we're proposing a transom window. Yeah. And so the sort of the white of that enclosure, the proposed enclosure under the canopy, we're thinking again, that's probably a hardy kind of recessed reveal, cementitious siding. And so the other thing that we wanted to go back to the previous hearing for the the previous decision for the windows, where the windows were approved, but with the proviso for a color being submitted and with a preference for an aluminum color rather than a black. The guidelines themselves actually seem to talk about not using, well, not the guidelines, I'm sorry. There was a document about the historic district from 2002, which I've got in my notes here, that seems to talk about not wanting to use, that we should not use a clear aluminum. But importantly, what I want to show you with these views here is that if we can use black for the windows, it ties in really nicely with this proposed entry, and it's going to have a really nice sharp look. You know, the simplicity of the color scheme of being brick with some white and the black accents, I think is really pretty sharp. And again, it ties in really nicely with the existing black railings which are around the building. I think that might be my last page. Is that right, Nick? Oh, we go. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. There was one more. Yeah. So we're looking at the siding that's above the existing brick planters, where you have just a little bit of siding exposed. We're thinking about either the one on the left here, which is the James Hardy Artisan, which is a nice sharp line. We're looking for sharp horizontal lines on this, and it's got these nice shadow lines. Or the one on the right is also a James Hardy product. That's the Artisan Square Channel, and that has again, horizontal lines, very horizontal lines. Not quite as much shadow line though. Great. So thank you.
Thank you, David. Commissioners, we'll turn it over to you.
I have a quick question regarding the windows.
Yep.
The last time that there was the presentation when we made the vote on it, it was stated, and I don't know, I could be wrong here. If any commissioner remembers, that would be helpful, that there's another building that might have the black outline as well, that's close by to this building. And, you know, I was always curious as to if there was an image of that building, right? Just to see what that actually looked like.
Yeah, sure. Oh, sorry, Nikita.
I was just going to say, it's just hard to really capture it in this digital image, because it stands out in a very stark way here, but it's not a real image. Do you see what I'm saying? If there was an actual, you know, if there actually is an example of a building that did it close by in the same time period, you know, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, am I allowed to share my screen by chance?
Let's give this a shot. Okay.
Great. Says host disabled participant sharing.
Oh, hang on. I'm going to make you a co-host.
Cool.
Co-host. So you should now be able to share your screen.
Great. I can, which is terrific. So I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to bring up a street view, which I have already preloaded. So everyone can see the building on my screen now, y'all?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then here's 95 next door. You can see it's kind of the same thing, right? Just on a higher rock. And just to the right, Nikita, I appreciate your question about this. Just to the right is this building from a pretty similar time period. It seems to be a little older, but it's got all these black windows, which I think were recently redone.
Excuse me, Nick?
Yeah, sorry?
Oh, sorry, like I'm not, if you're showing images, I'm not seeing them.
Oh.
Is this something I need to do?
You should be, do you see the map on Derek's screen?
I have it says, I've lost the presentation and it says, you know, Zoom scheduling made easy.
Oh, did you minimize it by chance?
I didn't touch anything, but maybe it got minimized.
You should be able to see a door with the number 79 over it on my screen. Nikita, do you see that?
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Karen, do you see it?
I do, yeah.
I see it as well, so I'm assuming that it's something you clicked.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And do you see all the other participants on video?
Yeah, I do see the participants.
Hmm. Are you on full screen? Maybe that's it.
I'm on full screen. I can try making it a little bit smaller on my screen and see if that.
No, I think it sounds. Well, I like the black, actually. I think it does look better on the building than I thought it would. So.
I'd like to make an observation, actually two. 85 rather, if you're going to go with the anodized black frame along the portico, it would look better to have the uniformity of all of the windows with the same frame. I also, that's one. The other is the application is for 85 and 95. So I'm assuming that we are considering both buildings for a portico alteration and window frame substitution. Is that correct?
Just to clarify, the portico adjustment would be for 85 Sutherland, and the mm-hmm. window issue is for both 85 and 95. So the window issue only is for 85 and 95, and the portico only is for 85. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Derek, where is 95, just so we know for a frame of reference?
Yeah, so if I bring up the map, it is the next building to the north. So here we are at 85 there.
Yep.
And then the next building to the north, as it begins to curve around Selkirk,
okay.
It's 95. And so again, if I'm walking up this hill here.
Oh, so it's that one right there.
So okay. It's this one right here. And let's go around the corner and, you know, there it is. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. And again, it already has black railings on it. And this one's going to keep the black posts with all the Mediterranean vineyard thing going on. And the black railings, and you can see there's already this black language that's there right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but our building has white stripes here, 85.
Okay. They both seem to have that Sutherland written out. Are you planning on removing that completely or working somewhere?
No, I think we were going to, just keep that. It's got quotation marks, the first building I've ever seen with quotation marks around its address. I think that might be historically significant.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
Yeah. So I want to make sure that all of our commissioners have a chance to chime in here. Helen, how are you doing on those technical difficulties?
I can't get the image. But you know, I guess going back to our previous review, I understand the point about the black windows and coordinating with the proposed portico, but I still feel like even if these buildings aren't what we originally considered the area of significance or the time, now these buildings are in the 50-year-old time frame, and it really changes the aspect of the building to change from the anodized aluminum windows to black windows. And I know the buildings you're talking about, they're like the 1930s Art Deco buildings with the casement windows. There are windows with buildings with black. I mean, I can't say there's never been buildings with black, brick buildings with black window frames, because they do, I acknowledge they do exist, but I just saw the primary architectural feature of these mid-century buildings was just very rectilinear with the anodized aluminum windows. And I'm completely sympathetic to putting on the entrance. I understand the need for that, and the materials for that seem reasonable to me. But I don't know. I feel hesitant about changing the windows, and I feel like that then would all the windows in all those buildings change that way, and that's, you know, going by the guidelines, kind of trying to retain the original integrity of any building in the district, even if it's somewhat outside the original time period, to me is still an important goal of the district.
I want to
jump in here. Provided we retain the shape and the rectilineal aspect of 85 and 95, I think we could safely approve the dark window frames as long as nothing else is altered along with that. For example, if someone suggested putting in casement windows, that would be totally inappropriate for this architectural style. On the other hand, I don't think we're risking violating the standards by keeping the mid-century modern look, the plain glass, very simple appearance, and yet changing the frame to be consistent with the portico. It looks less, by doing that, we don't look messy, whereas often when there are changes in architectural materials or styles, you get a hodgepodge and it doesn't have any uniform appearance, but that's my observation.
I think I like the way that the black windows would match the buildings beside it, the portico, and kind of carry a consistent look as it goes up the street there. It ties in my mind. I think I like it. So,
yeah, I think I would agree with Sharon and John. The color really doesn't bother me, as long as it's only the color of the windows and not, you know, and not the shape or anything else. And I know the black may be new, but and it doesn't really matter. But personally, I think they look better.
I'm also in leaning toward the same piece. Now that I'm seeing it done on a building right next to it, you know, even though it's a different style building, for consistency purposes, because they are big brick buildings, and the fact that I agree with Helen on a lot of points in terms of, you know, it's in the district and it falls within our purview. At the same time, you know, it is not, I look at this one, you know, naively as less contributing than something else, than a Tudor, or, you know, if we're dealing with something like that, I think that it's a little bit more heavy hitting if when you're trying to do something that deviates from the style elements. I also feel like this could be an easy fix going 10 years down the line. Maybe they want to flip it back, you know, like, you know, we really want that element. They can do that, as opposed to if they're like, oh, you know, let's just demolish it or something else. I think that's a different conversation. I feel like this is an easy flip-flop of going back and forth if they need to going down the line. For now, aesthetically, I just feel like it lays in the consistency with the building that's coming up the street and with the design elements for the front that they're hoping to do. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nikita. And I also just want to caution everyone from, using the architecture style mid-century modern. And I think it's mid-century modern because it was built in the 60s or in the mid-century, but I'm hesitant to say it's full-blown mid-century modern architecture. Derek, do we know the original architect of this building?
I don't think I have that information.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. So, yeah.
Let's see. I don't know if it says here. No. Yeah, No, that's from 1998. I'm really not sure. Whoever it was, they have a lot of these... A lot of these children of these buildings around, they don't fit in with anything from around here when I see them around West Roxbury, for instance. But yeah, I would agree with you, Nick, that there are some really great examples of mid-century modern, and this is more of a shoebox, really, with a couple of stripes.
Yeah.
I went to see him, and I remember walking up and down there and seeing a lot of those buildings as well. So.
Yeah.
I've one down the street for me that has a blue and a yellow stripe horizontally. It'll tie in with anything.
Do any of the other commissioners have any more input before we open it up to public comment?
Nope.
Okay. Nick, is it okay if I move to public comment?
Yeah, one quick thing, Nikita. So we did focus on the windows here for a couple of minutes.
I'm so sorry. I got thought about the whole the structure.
Yeah, the big change here is the portico and the mail room. How do we feel about that? I mean, is this going to be altering the architecture enough where it's concerning? I mean, what are the commissioner's thoughts on this in addition to the landscaping?
That's a good question. I thought, given the necessity for securing packages, I think this is a very discreet, non-intrusive adaptation. And if anything, it's about as good as you could ask for, other than a complete overhaul of the entire building.
Yeah. And I just want to also point out another thing to the commissioners is I actually did not notice this until Derek mentioned it, but the 85 Sutherland in signage near the garden, I'd like to request that that remains if there's any plans to remove it.
Sorry, I didn't understand what you meant with the...
Derek, do you want to go to that image that you had of the labeling?
The original? Yeah, behind the shrubbery here, there's a there's an existing Sutherland 85 in quotations that is there. And yeah, I think we would just leave that. You know, it's probably going to get, it's already partly obscured by the landscaping. And, you know, when we put the proposed landscaping in, if I can get to that view, you know, it may end up, let's see, it's over here. You know, you might peek its head out above that. But we had no plans to remove it. But if you'd like to place that into any decision, I don't think we have any issue with that unless David feels otherwise.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I agree with Sharon that the, you know, I think the design and the materials for the proposed portico are appropriate and as good, you know, kind of as good a addition as could be imagined for that building. I have two questions about the large 85 and 95, or if it's just 85 that you're proposing. What materials is that, and what color is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It would be a let me see. I just want to make sure I'm not contradicting anything. It's a stainless. The note says stainless steel. It's kind of got a little bit of a gold appearance here. You know, it could be actually an aluminum that has a color to it. I'd actually, you know, I was actually trying to find the original typeface for the 85 that was on the wall that we were just looking at a moment ago. I did a little bit of a search and couldn't quite find it. It's not quite Century Gothic or Futura. You know, it's sort of a little bit like those, but not quite. But I would want to try to match. I think right now I've just used Helvetica here, but I think I'd actually want to try to see if I can match the existing 85. I think that'd be kind of a cool thing to do. So either kind of having a little bit of a brass slash gold feel about it like we have here, or I think it could also be white, or it could be aluminum color. So there's or stainless steel. I mean, there's a lot of different options here, and if the commission has preference for that, for one versus another, I'm certainly open to listening to what your thoughts are.
I just, in my opinion, even if the windows are changed, I think the stainless or the aluminum is just more in keeping with the aesthetic of that building and that time.
Yeah.
The other question I had, maybe for Nick, is in terms of the plant materials that are proposed. I think a good point that they're redoing the landscaping as part of the project. That should be a positive. But I just wanted to check whether the, you know, I know we have like some considered typical planting materials that are like a list of materials that are, you know, found in the district. I just wanted to check whether the proposal kind of meets the guidelines for landscaping materials.
I don't think, one second, I just want to bring that up here just to make sure that we're all on the same page. I'm pretty sure it does. I can double check.
Maybe I would just recommend that staff review the planting materials that are selected.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I like what they've picked too. And I mean, I think that you see a lot more of this kind of wild grass look in a lot of buildings because it's easy to maintain. And I think that what happens with some of the other things, you can see the plantings that are there are kind of overgrown at this point. And the grass seems to kind of maintain itself and give a better look throughout.
Great. Yeah, I'm happy to verify that with the list that we have. Any other questions?
Nope.
All right, Nikita, I think you can turn it over to the public comment if there is any.
Sure. So members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question into the chat via the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, please press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB December 10th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topics under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comments. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment already mentioned.
Thank you, Nikita. So I am not seeing any comments on Twitter. Let me just double check our email. No comments on email, and there's no comments on the platform. So I think it's safe to say that we can close public comment.
Okay, so public comment is now closed. We'll move on to the voting portion. Is there a motion from a commissioner? I mean, I can make a motion. So I propose the motion to approve the application with the following proviso that the landscape elements are reviewed by staff prior to being installed. And also that, that the portico is installed as proposed with the condition that all connections to the main facade brick are done so through the mortar joints so as to be reversible if needed. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
And we will take the roll call. So John?
Approve.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yes.
And myself, yay. Application 2405-5058 has now been approved.
Commissioners, does that include the black windows?
Yeah, yes, that's what I...
As okay. far as I'm concerned, we are approving that as well.
Okay. Perfect. I think you made David, the owner of the property, very happy. So,
okay. And me as well. Thank you very much. I really appreciated everyone's comments today. It was great to hear your feedback and appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek. We'll see you later.
Take care.
All right. Let me get up back to the screen. Okay. Nikita, do you just want to go ahead and announce the next application and I'll get this up and running?
I didn't know if you wanted me to wait till you were all set. Okay. So we'll move on to the third application. So application 210359, the address is 324 Chestnut Hill Avenue. Applicant is Scott Dugman. I hope I said that right. Proposed work is install two vinyl windows at the side facade level 2, visible from Chestnut Hill Avenue. Are there any recusals from the commission members? I don't hear any. Members of the public are asked to please hold your comment until the end of the comment period for each application. And I'm going to hand it over to Scott.
Scott, are you here? Is there a representative for this property?
Yes, I'm right here on behalf of Scott. My name is Pablo Rosales. So that's the images that we submitted to you guys who can review.
Okay. So Pablo, quick question here. It's two individual windows that are being replaced, correct?
Yes.
Okay. We're not widening the window anymore at all, are we?
Not at all. No.
Okay. All right. Because I was a little confused with this image that was provided.
Yeah, that doesn't show exactly the color, but it will match the same color existing as is the dark bronze windows. They're already there.
Okay, perfect. Great, so that's the only thing that we have here. Commissioners, I put this on the agenda, obviously, It is on a sidewall, but it is visible from the street. And we typically don't allow vinyl windows in the district. So I will leave this in your hands and I'll hand it over to you.
I would like to ask, the foliage that I see on the side of the building, is that remaining or is that slated to be altered in any way in the future?
So all the windows are the same styles. Some of them have been replaced on that same section. The only ones that I haven't seen on this building being replaced yet is the one facing the front of the building. So there are some other windows that have been replaced. That's why I wanted to send some pictures, because obviously right now is winter time. I'm sure that you can probably see them behind the gas station. It's the gas station right next to it. Yep. So those windows, you can see them right now, probably because it's winter time. But after that, then everything gets covered.
So Pablo, the question that the commissioner asked was, does that foliage still exist today?
Which part? I'm sorry, I'm missing what you asking.
The trees, are they still there?
Yeah, they are there. Yes, okay. They still remain there.
And they're going to stay there? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Next question. Are the trees on the property of 324 Chestnut Hill Ave or the gas station?
That's hard to tell, but I seem like they don't do any maintenance to it. The only maintenance there is provided from the gas station is on the parking spots on the side.
I see.
So I don't really know. And I believe, actually, now that you mentioned that I think those parking spots are from this building. Since I was there, I saw a couple of people parking in there. They're going into the same building. I don't think the parking spots are owned by the gas station. I never seen a gas station who has parking spots, so I would assume it's part of 324.
And Sharon, just for argumentative sake, we should always be looking at these applications like it's permanently winter, so we shouldn't take foliage into consideration. If you ask me for my opinion, it would be just pretend it's always winter for every application.
Yeah. I don't know. We have pretty strong, clear guidelines on vinyl windows, period. It's just that when it's on the side and even though it's visible from Chestnut Hill Ave, it's less likely to be noticed even when there are bare branches camouflaging.
Mm-hmm.
Can I comment on that?
I'm done.
This side, because I walk by here all the time, this is actually very exposed. You see the whole side of that building. And we do have guidelines that call for aluminum or wood clad. And we have turned down many applications for vinyl. I think that we need to be consistent on that. And these really aren't like rear windows that are barely visible from a public way. That whole side, because of the parking lot for the gas station, it's there. That whole facade is visible from the public way. And to me, we have to take into account not just these two windows, but if other windows on that facade, you know, were replaced, presumably they would be, we would want to see a uniform style and material. So I think we need to think of like the long-term of that building. Not just in terms of these two.
That's a great point, Helen. Another thing I just wanted to point out to factor into your recommendations, the lot next to it is potentially developable. So that could easily accommodate a new building if the gas station were to be sold or the parking lot were to be sold. And then that building, that window would apparently or would seemingly not be visible from the street. But, you know, something to consider.
Yeah, I agree with Helen. I think we have to be consistent in our application of the rules, and we can't, you know, make a decision contemplating a potential future building. So I think we need to stick with our guidelines.
Okay.
John, do you have anything to add?
No, I'm fine with continuing with the guidelines.
And I concur. Nick, did you have anything else that?
I mean, my recommendations are the same of what you guys are kind of thinking. So no additional comments.
Okay. So I can open it up to public comment?
I think that's, yeah.
Let me just, give me one moment. So members of the public are now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question into the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag AB December 10th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topics under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comment. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment already mentioned.
All right, so let's double check the mail. There are no comments in mail. Let me double check Twitter. Nothing in Twitter. And there are, Pablo, did you have something else you wanted to add?
Yes, so I don't know if you guys heard, have like dealt with Anderson Windows, the ones that are made with fiber in composite mix. You guys mentioned before metal and wood. Is this something that that's been presented to you in previous projects before? This is called the Anderson 100 series Fibrex windows?
Yeah, composite windows.
Yes.
Yeah. Commissioners, we've had those before that we've approved, right?
I think we did for 101 Lanark Road. That question came up about 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question because I'm not sure that that material, I don't know if that material existed when the guidelines were created. I don't know that that material is specifically addressed.
I haven't seen it in the guidelines, but I think we did consider that there have been improvements in materials since the guidelines were originally drafted.
Right, that.
Yeah.
That adequately replicated what I guess maybe was our evaluation of that.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why, if I may, is because we did have approved a couple of projects in historical districts in Boston. I know we're talking about Brookline right now, but this have to be a little bit more common window that has been accepted. So now I hear you guys saying that, you know, we have considered this too. So I can probably forward you all the specs if you needed to, if it's an email that I can send it, or if you guys can see it on your own, just as an option.
Yeah. Great. So there are no more public comments.
Okay.
Okay.
Nick, just as a question, I'm not familiar with the composite window. Is that something that we should consider or no?
So composite windows are getting progressively better as the years go by. I've seen some that have been approved in other districts, and they're pretty impressive. I wouldn't say they look exactly like wood, but they're getting close. Kirsten, do you have any history using or reviewing projects like that with those windows?
Okay. No, I don't personally, okay. But I think we could certainly, you know, entertain another proposal for that sort of window.
Hang on 1 second, I'm just... Sorry, I'm just double checking the... So if using the same material is not technically or economically feasible, the commission will allow installation of aluminum or aluminum clad replacement windows units that meet the standards for replacement. Vinyl replacement windows shall not be allowed. So my thoughts are, it doesn't specifically prohibit composite windows, but it does specifically prohibit vinyl windows.
So do we recommend that we push this off till we see the composite, or how, what's this, the forward going motion then?
Yeah.
That's up to you. You could do, Pablo, is aluminum clad an option for your client or your homeowner?
No, because aluminum clad tends to decal from wood on the long period of time. Of course, it's not going to happen in the next 20 years, but it does eventually. So that's why the windows that we install, they actually are either a vinyl clad or composite. So that's the reason why we work with this brand. We work with Anderson Windows. So that's why they used to offer aluminum clad, but once again, aluminum doesn't tend to last on a long period of time. Of course, if you're talking about just aluminum 100%, that's a different story. But no, we don't have any aluminum options.
I mean, to be fair, Pablo, vinyl windows last less time than aluminum clad. So it's
yeah.
I mean, does the commissioner have a motion because of this new element?
Here's something to consider, commissioners, is if we do want to actually take a look at composite windows, I'm going to have to find some in the city that are installed and then direct you towards them, because we can't meet in public altogether. The city prohibits it. So it will be a little bit of homework and a little bit of a journey for you, because I'm going to have to locate some for you to look at.
Well, you know, Nick, if we're considering an alternative to the aluminum clad or wood clad windows, and it's Fibrex or composite, I think I'm willing to trek around the city and take a look at an appropriate window, because it would be setting a precedent. And we want to be consistent in our decision-making.
Fine by me. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think these composite materials even existed when we were creating the guidelines. And so they just were, it's like, it wasn't, something wasn't even addressed. And, but we're probably going to get more and more proposals for them. I think we need to, you know, it's a material that now exists and is becoming quite prevalent. So we need to figure out whether it's reasonable to accept. And also, there could be different levels of quality or different standards within that material, that some might be acceptable and others not, or some type acceptable and others not. So
okay.
It could be worth it for us to educate ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to deal with this as a potential material going forward.
We can do that. So the only thing I would ask the applicant is, Pablo, would you or your homeowner mind that we continue this hearing, or are you willing to concede and say we'll do aluminum clad? Because vinyl is not allowed in the district. The commission's willing to explore the composite, but we can't make a decision during this hearing.
Of course, yes. We'll be willing to wait to hear from you, so we can see the option as Fibrex as an option.
Terrific, great. So what we'll do, commissioners, is we'll just need a motion to continue, and we'll carry this on to the January 2021 hearing, and then I will follow up with all of you with examples of composite windows that you can observe.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to continue till 2021 in January. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Great. John?
I agree.
Sharon?
Aye.
Kirsten?
You say aye.
Oh, yes. Yay.
Helen.
Yay.
And myself, yay. We will continue in January.
Perfect. Thank you, Pablo. We'll be in touch. Thanks.
Appreciate your time.
Okay. So I'll jump right into the last application for the evening. So application 210459 is 1940 Beacon Street. And the applicant is Jeff, I'm gonna mess up the last name, Quas.
Correct.
Oh, great, yay. it's for a viewpoint sign and awning. The proposed work is the install of signage for a new business. Are there any recusals from the commission? I don't hear any. And members of the public are asked to please hold your comment until the comment period for each application. Please present your application, Jeff.
Okay, thank you. So Supercuts is currently located a couple doors down from where it's moving to. So in light of the new architectural storefront, we're going to be disposing of the old larger letters and rebuilding a set of Supercuts channel letters smaller than the existing, 3 inches deep, and on a raceway, which I believe is the building standard and similar to what Amelia's has done next door. So that's really the channel letter portion. And then we'll also be doing a blade sign, again, in a similar style to what was done at Amelia's, to keep the architecture of the building consistent from the sign point of view.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. Commissioners?
That seems pretty straightforward to me. I don't see any objection to it as presented. I would like staff to do the final approval of the final presentation.
Hey, Sharon, can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
the sign, the mounts where the sign will be installed. I'd just like to make sure, because the, you know, renderings are always a little tricky, but just to make sure that that matches the color of the restored, I believe it's stone, and that any holes from the original GNC sign are filled, so that you know, they're not.
Yeah, actually, you did put this in your recommendations, but I also note that the race, or whatever it's called, that the letters are attached to.
Yeah.
In the presentation, it looks like it's a lighter color than the background. If that could be obscured or painted the same color as the background, I think it would be less intrusive.
Jeff, can you comment on that? Is that planned to be painted similar, or is it just a rendering error, or?
Well, the direction we got is to have the exposed metal be black. And so at this point, the raceway and the returns, or the sides of the letters, would be black. And that would also be the same for the blade sign.
Yeah, but Jeff, there's, do you see on the rendering here? All right, let me just get my pointer out here, annotate. Let's see if I can do this right. Let's see. Draw. I'm gonna draw. All right. Do you see this right here and this right here?
Yes.
The commissioners are asking that that color match the background of the stone. We know that David recently had this repainted. And we'd like to just make sure that we're complementing all of that hard work.
Okay, so I'm sorry. That's fine. If I could even get that paint spec from David, perfect, and then I can have my paint manufacturer, Axo Nobel, match it, and that's so I could spray that in the paint booth, And so that all matches.
Great.
Now, what about the returns on the letters or the sides of the letters?
Yeah, can I? Can I comment on that?
Of course.
I want to just read from the commission guidelines. New signs, marquees, and awnings shall not detract from the essential form of the building or obscure its architectural features. And just to give a little history on these storefronts here, when that Gothic line there was rediscovered, like the what had been there before was removed. You know, we were ecstatic to have that original facade there. And we actually originally didn't allow the signage to be up on that Gothic frieze there. It was down in the raceway, the segment below that. Mm-hmm. And Amelia's was too, the Jan's. And if you look at you can see in the documents that the proponent submitted that like the JNC was down in that lower exactly. Band there. And when Amelia's was originally also had it in the lower, and then at the point they came back and requested to put it up on the Gothic frieze. And you know, I think that we were a little over enthusiastic about the Gothic frieze and trying to preserve it and not allow it as a place where the lettering was placed. And I think we need to recognize that the storefronts, you know, need to have their image and branding, you know, prominent. Mm-hmm. So, and we approved Amelia's to move up there. So it's consistent with that for the Supercuts to have the sign there. But I do feel like the letters are a little tall and they're kind of edging into the Gothic arches there, and that the Amelia's Taqueria lettering was kind of like the maximum that we should allow, and that kind of like to be consistent with that a slightly shorter lettering would just accomplish the purpose of allowing the Supercuts name to be prominently displayed, but also not quite as much obscure some of the top of the Gothic detail.
So basically, and I'm just going to take advantage of this newfound skill that I have. We want the Supercuts and Amelia's to line up with one another in terms of size of
the that's what I'm suggesting. Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm suggesting.
That looks good, Nick.
Look at me, guys.
Yeah.
So that seems reasonable. Jeff, what do you think about that?
So are you saying reduce the height of the letters to match Amelia's? Is that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, but keep the different color because it does set itself off nicely.
Right, now I think we've always recognized that businesses need to use their branding colors and their company font and that kind mm-hmm. of thing to project their own image. So I'm not suggesting, I'm just saying that I think the size is a little large and is kind of intruding on the detail at the top, and that we can kind of have a happy medium of having the sign up there on the Gothic frieze, not down on the band below, but keep it a little bit smaller to not obscure the detail.
Okay. All right, so maybe drop it down from 20 to, let's say, 18 inches?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jeff, you can always submit those to me for final approval.
Fine.
We can make the approval, if the commissioners decide to make that approval, contingent upon me reviewing it to ensure accuracy.
Okay, so I'll go to 18-inch letters, and I'll paint the raceway to match the landlord spec for the fascia paint.
That sounds like how the approval is leading. So I'll turn it back to the commissioners let them
I just also have one question. I don't know if I missed it. If there's an image of what the blade sign would look like, and it sort of seems like there's a projection of it there, but I don't see what it actually.
Yeah, that should have been submitted on a separate page.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
Sorry, I gotta close out my. There we go. There.
That's it.
Okay. And it, what we see there is kind of like the relative size that it would be, which is actually shorter than the Amelia's, the circle.
From right. And partly it's because of the Supercuts branding. Right. It doesn't allow you to stack the letters. It has right. to be horizontal. So uh-huh. the letters end up being only 4 1/8 inches.
Right.
But that's just the way it is.
But it seems like it's within the realm of the other blade signs, and in fact might be smaller than the Tuckeria sign.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Do any of the other commissioners have any questions or comments? If not, Nick, do you want me to open it up to public comment?
I think that's a great idea.
Great. The members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter, tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks using the hashtag AB December 10th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comments related to the topic under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comment. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with a comment that's already been mentioned. So public comment is now open.
Great. Let's take a look here. Okay. No comments on email or Twitter. And let me just double check the platform. There are no comments on the platform, so I think we can close the public comment element.
The public comment is now closed. Is there a motion? We'll move on to the voting portion. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion to accept the proposal with the proviso to change the letter size to 18 point and to have the raceway the same color as the background. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
The same color as the facade that it's attached to. And do we need to make any requirements about like how it's attached, Nick?
Just to fill in the holes of the former sign. Just
and fill in the hole of the former sign. Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay.
And I thought we also made you say that we accept the blade sign as well.
Is it too late to ask a question?
No.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Is it too late to ask a question? David Lapidus here, owner of the building. Thank you guys for all your time with this. Quick question. I just want to, I know we're shooting around 18 inches. I just want to make sure that we can, as far as the size of the letters, we can maintain, the same size as Amelia's, because I think that was the original intent, is to keep the same size of Amelia's. If Amelia's is 18 and a half, whatever it is, I just want to sort of make sure we keep that spirit of the original intent. Is that okay?
I agree with that. Yes, I think that I was proposing that, like Amelia, to be no larger than Amelia, so to match that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, my only comment on that is that it's a lot of letters, Amelia's Taqueria, and at that size fills up much of their storefront, whereas Supercuts is just a much smaller, fewer letters, and is going to fill up, therefore, much less of the storefront. So I thought 18 inches would be a reasonable compromise. I think it's only 2 inches larger than what the Amelia's letters are, not including that descender. But I think it would look very appropriate at that height relative to the Amelia's next door.
Oh, okay. That's good. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
Why don't we do this? If commissioners, if you're comfortable with it, why don't you remand the size to me? And what I'll do is I will compare, once I have the two plans, I will compare them. I can most likely grab the Amelia's Taqueria plans and see what they look like and go from there in terms of size.
Yeah,
I think that's a good solution.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
All right. Who seconded that?
I seconded it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So we're good to go forward with the roll call, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Nikita, yay. Let's see, application 210459 has been approved.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks. And so that is it for applications. I think the only thing left will be the minutes.
So portion three for today would be the ratification of the November 12th public hearing minutes. I'd like to make a motion that we ratify them. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, I'll now take the roll call vote. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And Nikita, yay. In the minutes from the 11/12/2020 public hearing has been ratified. And then we are moving on to the staff updates.
So thank you all for all the work you've done this year. This is our last hearing of the year. And, you know, moving forward into 2021, we're looking to hire some additional staff who would be responsible for violations, as well as some other work that we're looking to do. So you know, stay tuned for that information. And I think that's it. Yeah.
Excellent. Let me see.
Oh, sorry. One more thing is we're right now, we're starting to slow down, and we will be setting up a meeting with all of you for commissioner training. So you'll all be required to take a training where we just teach you the do's and don'ts of being a commissioner. And I know it's a long time coming, but with our short staff, it's been very difficult to schedule that. So just keep an eye out for that in the new year.
Okay, Nick, this isn't the same as the training I did in late October, early November about
conflict of interest.
Yeah, the conflict of interest and all of that.
No, this will be specifically for our commissions and, you know, the do's and don'ts of our commission. We will most likely touch on conflict of interest, but it'll be much more in depth. It's mainly to train our new commissioners like Nikita and John, but also to give everyone that's existing commissioners a little bit of a refresher course. So stay tuned. Also, I believe we have one outstanding position for a BLC member, and currently the only member we have is Kirsten from the BLC, so we will be adding a new BLC member to the commission shortly, so we'll let you know as soon as we find out who that is.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
If that's all, Nick, I can move on to adjourn the meeting.
That sounds great.
Great. So the time is now 5:30 p.m. Do we have a motion to adjourn the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing?
I'd like to make a motion to end the meeting, and happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. I'll second the motion. Right. I will now take the roll call vote. John?
Yay.
Kirsten?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Nikita, yay. This meeting is now adjourned.
Perfect. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.